Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the president of Citizen Outreach, Ray Hager, has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Chuck Muth of Las Vegas. We'll be talking about everything Republican and a few Democratic notes, too.
Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Ellie Lopez-Bolin, Joe Gild, and Wayne Frediani. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome back to the program Chuck Muth. He is the president of Citizen Outreach. And Chuck, I want to start out with John Ensign. You blamed him in the past on this program for the lack of funding for the party organization. You guys got 2 years to get it together. Who do you see as the leader that is going to be doing the fundraising to get the Republican Party in shape in this state?
Well, it sure won't be John Ensign. He can't raise money for himself, let alone for the party. I think what we're going to see now is this is going to be between Brian Sandoval, who has a lot at stake in seeing that the party grow and hopefully get a more friendly legislature as he moves forward in his next 4 years and probably 8 years as things develop. He has a stake in making sure that the party is built up stronger. At the same time, also, I suspect that Dean Heller has a strong interest in running for John Ensign's seat in 2 years, and he's going to need to make sure that that infrastructure that was not there in this election cycle for Sharon Angell is there for him in 2 years, because no matter what happens in this state, it's still a fairly evenly split registration-wise, and he's going to need that infrastructure regardless of who the Democratic candidate is.
One of the things that we discovered after the election was the incredible ground game that Senator Reid had organized through his advertising agency and through his campaign. And that took a lot of money, the research that went on, the deep polling that went on. How are the Republicans going to be able to raise that kind of money? And would Dean Heller be able to do it while simultaneously having to raise money for his own campaign?
Well, the good news for Republicans is you don't have to raise as much money as Harry Reid did, and they never will. I mean, Harry Reid has been raising money and building this infrastructure for this race for at least 6 years, and probably dating back to 1998, 12 years ago. The good thing for Republicans, however, is that in 2012, unlike 2008, they will have this presidential primary caucus system in this state pretty much to themselves if they don't blow it. There's going to be a number of Republican presidential candidates who will be coming into the state that will fire up the base, and that should help the party build up its infrastructure. The Democrats are going to have Barack Obama. He's going to be their nominee, barring something really cataclysmic, where maybe a Hillary Clinton challenges him in a primary. But that's highly unlikely. The odds are the Democrats won't have the motivation to go out and build that or extend that infrastructure that they built for themselves in 2008. The Republicans will have that opportunity. Again, they don't need to raise $25 million. They just need to get themselves organized and raise some money to start to build that machinery.
Chuck, if we could please turn to the Nevada legislature for a minute. We spoke before about the majorities of Democrats in both the lower house and the upper house. Could you go through the scenario where, although Democrats don't have a supermajority, they could peel some people off and for a veto override on a tax issue?
Yeah, that's a true misnomer that a lot of the media have been putting out there, that because the Republicans picked up one seat in the state Senate and two seats in the state assembly, that the Democrats no longer have a veto-proof majority. That's not true. They no longer have a veto-proof majority with only Democrat members. What they do have, though, is a potential veto-proof majority with some members, some Republican members of both the state Senate and the state assembly, who have in the past willingly crossed party lines and voted with the Democrats to raise taxes, expand government, increase spending, and that sort of thing. You probably have at least 2 to 4 Republicans in the state Senate who are willing to do that and have shown their willingness to do that in the past. And I'd say you have at least 6 or 7 Republicans in the state assembly who are probably willing to cross party lines to do the same.
Chuck, down in Las Vegas, what is the appetite with Southern Nevada legislators for expanding the legislature as many people in the North would like to see happen?
Well, from my talks with some of them, Ray, they don't want to talk about that at all. This is a whole card that they want to hold till the end of the session, when the real horse trading takes place, and it's something that they may be willing to give up in order to get some more favorable lines one way or the other for maybe that 4th congressional district, or maybe even to make those assembly districts a little bit more fair than what they have been in the past. But I can tell you that at least from the Republican side, I don't see as much of a debate between North and South on expanding the legislature as it is that if you expand the legislature, the extra seats will go to the North, which generally is going to benefit Republicans. So I don't think you'll see it. Even though generally speaking Republicans are supposed to be against expanding government, the fact is if you do expand this time, what you really are doing is shrinking the number of citizens who are represented in a particular district, and that means that the government is a little bit closer to the people. The races will be a little bit less expensive. So I don't think you'll see a whole lot of resistance to expanding the legislature from the Republicans. The Democrats may be a different story.
What do you think about Sharon Angle? She's talking about that she's not done with politics. If Dean Heller does indeed go for John Ensign's seat, then do you think Sharon Angle can take CD2?
Oh, I think she would probably be the odds-on favored to win that primary, obviously, especially if there's a crowded primary. The speculation here is that if Dean Heller moves up to run for the Senate and Sharon Angle runs for his congressional seat, you probably would also see Lieutenant Governor Brian Krolicki maybe jump in to that race. He would be midterm in his last term as Lieutenant Governor. He really wouldn't have anything to lose by competing for that seat. Mark Amadei has been term limited out of the state Senate. He's a very popular guy. He's running the state party, and if he starts to get that machinery up and being a little bit more effective, I think he would be a credible candidate in that race. The former commander of the USS Cole, he spoke at an event for us a couple of months ago, Kirk Lippold. He seems very interested in a federal race. He might be somebody who could raise some money and gather some attention. So I think that a crowded Republican primary, as we saw in the Republican primary for this U.S. Senate race this year, benefits Sharon Angle because she does have a base of support. She's going to hold her base. And if the quote, the anti-Angle faction split 5 or 6 ways, then she could get that nomination.
Chuck Muth, when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Attention diabetics, if you've taken the diabetes drug Avandia, listen carefully.
If a member of your family has suffered a heart attack, stroke, or even died while taking Avandia, call the attorney Greg Jones right now.
If you or a loved one have taken this drug and were injured, you may be entitled to financial compensation.
For a free legal consultation, call 800-595-6139.
You don't owe us anything unless we're successful.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10,000.com.
Urgent news. If you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Chuck Muth. He's the president of Citizen Outreach. Chuck, in today's Las Vegas Sun, there is a story from Anthony Ramirez who talks about further education cuts spur fear of lawsuits. Mo Dennis, who will be the chairman of the Senate Education Committee next year, adds one word to that, which is litigation. He said if the legislature cuts too much, somebody will probably file a lawsuit and we're going to lose it. He said, with my household budget, if I don't have any money, I cut back. Why can't government? If we do that, we get sued. We don't have a choice. Your thoughts?
Well, this is a major problem that we've been facing for a long time as a nation, where the federal government can come in and dictate how we run our house and how we run our business here. And it's a states' rights issue that I think has become a little bit more, maybe not popular, but the public, especially because the Tea Party movement has made such an issue of this, is going to be a factor in all of these issues coming up. Now, this whole thing about the education and spending, we've been hearing about these lawsuits. It's usually used as a threat to try to scare people into approving more spending and higher taxes. Sooner or later, the state's going to have to say enough. You can't keep forcing these unfunded mandates down our throat and telling us that we have to do this, that, or the other thing without the funding. In this recession that we're having, the money just isn't there, and the cutbacks have to be made somewhere. If it's not education, it's the prison system. If it's not the prison system, it's health and human services. Sooner or later, somebody's going to have to say enough is enough, and we just can't comply with these federal mandates.
Brian Sandoval coming in as governor and his no new taxes pledge. Does he put himself in a similar position that Jim Givens put himself in, which is essentially the legislature just takes over?
I think the way the Sandoval administration is going to handle its relationship with the legislature will be very different. But I'm happy to see, and I hope that Governor-elect Sandoval keeps his pledge to take taxes and fees off the table. The only way that you will ever get government to retrench and shrink is if you take the ability to raise taxes off the table. Even during the past 3 years, where we've had the worst recession in memory, it has been like pulling teeth trying to get the government to actually shrink itself. We actually raised government employee salaries. We gave them a cost of living increase of 4% in 2008, right in the middle of this recession. There's been no layoffs, massive layoffs, anywhere near what we've seen in the private sector when they had those problems, and they knew that they had to make some serious cuts to make themselves healthy. Government will not shrink itself unless it's forced to, and that is why it is so important for the governor to take tax increases off the table. Now, will the legislature try to overrule him or override him and take his budget and increase spending and increase taxes? They may, but I think they're going to have a little bit more of a difficult time doing that with Brian Sandoval. The reason they got away with it with Jim Gibbons was that he was so bad at dealing with the legislature and so bad at communicating with them and with the public that I really don't think that Sandoval is going to have that same problem.
Chuck, speaking of Governor Gibbons, of course he'll only be with us as our leader for another month or so. What will his legacy be after he leaves office?
Boy, I'm not a historian. I can only tell you from my standpoint, it's going to be opportunity missed. From a conservative standpoint, Jim Gibbons did all of the right things in all of the wrong ways. He took the position of no new taxes, but he did it in such a way that he flip-flopped on it. He put that $292 million room tax increase in his budget, and that kind of undercut his moral authority to speak on that issue. People called him on it. He did oversee a state budget that was just decimated by economic collapse that he had nothing really to do with. I mean, no elected person in this country really could have foreseen how bad that was. He just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. But again, a lot of the things that went wrong with his administration, Ray, were unforced errors. He shot himself in the foot so many times, it just wasn't even funny.
Now, Chuck, we all know, too, that Bill Raggio of Reno is no longer the Senate minority leader in the legislature. Some people were shocked, but others, did you see this coming after his tax vote in 09, his run against Engel, his tax vote in 03? Were you surprised at all that this happened?
Well, there's been talk about replacing Senator Raggio for a number of years, at least 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 or 8 going back. But it's always been talk. It was who would actually challenge the king like that. And even after the tax votes, there really wasn't the vote there. There wasn't the figure there to challenge Senator Raggio, especially in his final legislative session. What the game changer was, him so publicly coming out in favor of and endorsing Harry Reid, that gave the opposition an opportunity with something that was very easy to see. It was a soundbite that, as a leader, you just don't do that. If you're a regular old state senator, fine, you endorse Harry Reid, there's not going to be too much of a penalty to be paid for that. But when you're the leader of the party, and you endorse the Senate Majority Leader, the Democrat, the top Democrat from the other party, that gave people the opportunity to then take a look at, well, maybe we can replace Senator Raggio now. The only person really who probably could have pulled that off was Senator Mike McGuinness. And even he would not have been able to do it if it hadn't been for two conservatives, Elizabeth Houseth and Michael Roberson, winning their races in Southern Nevada. That gave Mike McGuinness the two votes that he needed to get to 6 in order to be able to pull it off. And as long as those two stuck with him, then you would get Gustafson and Settlemyer to go along, and of course Senator Sagavsky, and that gave him the 6 votes. And it was really that there were a lot of reasons maybe to replace Senator Raggio, the tax and the spending issues, but it was something that no one really foresaw coming, that endorsement of Harry Reid, that finally really did him in.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much, Chuck. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Watch Moana Nursery's High Desert Garden Tips every Friday on the News 4 Morning Show. The experts at Moana Nursery will guide you through projects like fall planting, lawn reseeding, and even let you know why your garden didn't produce this year. High Desert Garden Tips every Friday morning on News 4.
people in Nevada are choosing Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield for their health coverage. So if you need an individual health plan, what's stopping you from joining?
With kids, I have to be prepared. Do you cover preventive care?
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a choice of plans, including those with preventive care, to help your family and your budget stay healthy.
I'll bet my personal doctor isn't in your network.
I'll bet he is. And our large network of doctors and hospitals helps you save on the cost of your care, adding more value to your coverage.
I'm self-employed. I need something simple and affordable.
No problem. Our plans are designed for different needs and budgets. Compare plans and apply online 24 hours a day. Or call us to discuss your options. Join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield for service and value.
For a free rate quote for you or your family, call 1-866-759-5029 or visit us online at anthem.com/join in.
News 4's Fact Finder team, going the extra step to get the facts.
If the city's broke, why is it giving out money right now?
When accuracy matters, turn to News 4, Nevada's Fact Finders.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Wayne Frediani is here. He's the executive director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. Ellie Lopez-Bolin, community activist, and the attorney Joe Guild. Welcome to all of you. Joe, wanted to start with you. You raise a very good issue about what's happening with reapportionment and what the effect is going to be on rural Nevada. Do you want to share your thoughts with the audience?
Well, sure. When people talk about reapportionment, they always talk about northern Nevada and southern Nevada and the tension there and whatnot if the legislative size is not increased. Legislature's been as high as 75 members five times in our history. And the impact on rural Nevada is if the legislature does not increase its size and the power is in the legislature to do that, then there will be one state senator representing an area which is now represented by a combination of two for sure, Senators McGinnis and Rhodes, and a combination of some others, or Douglas County and whatnot. So one person would represent an area where they'd have to drive from Pahrump to Wells, from Pioche to Lovelock, and from Baker, Nevada to Fallon. Totally impossible. So if you're looking at geographic rationality for a reasonable mix of legislators, rural Nevada will suffer terribly. There's now six representatives in the assembly from rural Nevada, arguably could go down to four. Again, the geographic part of this, legislator in Las Vegas can ride a bicycle across their district compared to what I just said.
Yeah. Your thoughts, Wayne?
I agree with Joe. I mean, I think that the rural areas will suffer. I think the north will suffer. I think that you will see the south probably grab, possibly in the redistricting, a Senate seat or an assembly seat. And, you hear from the southern people, and it's factual that, 70% of the tax base is Clark County. 70% of the population is Clark County. So, every 10 years we go through this. It won't be no different this year.
Ellie?
Every 10 years we do go through this, and I do think it does affect northern Nevada. The district that I ran in 26 went all the way from Incline, circled the town, went around all the way to Cold Spring. So it's like it's hard to really manage a district when you cut them up so badly. So we are going to see a lot of changes, but I do think it does also affect the north and the south.
Well, right now from northern Nevada, there are some whispers that already the legislature's like a glorified Clark County Commission, and it's even going to be more so if the north doesn't get more representation, especially in the rural areas, because right now those districts are so large that you can't govern them effectively at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also, you know, we've seen this in previous legislatures where, for example, the Elko mayor, the Elko county commissioners are coming to a legislature to lobby, you know, on their personal basis, and I think you're just going to end up seeing a lot more of that. Let's talk about, you know, I mentioned it to Chuck Muth, but I wanted to get your take on this. How is this Republican ground game going to magically appear without a lot of money and a lot of organization? And who's going to do it?
Oh, the GOP needs to get really busy.
No
now.
Kidding.
And one of the things that I'm very frustrated about is losing a lot of the votes from the minority communities. 67% of Hispanics voted for Senator Reid. And while some of us that are Republican in the minority communities have talked to the leaders, the powers that be, over and over again, there needs to be really be a big change.
Your thoughts?
I think the presidential race will probably, you know, spur some activity in terms of
but wait, when you look at how organized, you know, there was a great article, and I apologize, I don't know the name of the publication it came from, but a great article on just how well organized the Reid campaign was, and following up on how well organized they were for the Obama campaign. That's all going to be in place.
That's
and
correct.
The Republicans are going to need to do a lot to
they're
get this
They're going to have
fixed.
To do a lot, and they're going to have to do it quickly, and they're going to have to get some good candidates out there that people are going to get behind and are willing to give money, and not just out of state money, but in-state money, and it's going to be a challenge.
You know, it's not only Harry Reid's get out the vote, but the Democrats at the county levels were very well organized. When you look at Washoe County, Sharon Engel didn't even win her home county,
right,
because of the of Chip Evans and the Democrats' organization. And right now, I don't see any leadership at the top of the Nevada State Republican Party that can get this done.
You get the last word, Joe.
A lot of quality people in the Republican Party, and to Wayne's point about getting quality candidates, but when the primaries elect, and this is no personal approbation against anybody, when they elect so-called fringe candidates in these primaries, then it marginal or it disintegrates a base in a Republican Party, and then you have people drifting to people like Senator Reid, whom they think, obviously they thought, was a better candidate than Sharon Engel, just to use that as an example. So the Republican Party has a lot of soul searching to do, it seems to me.
And a lot of money to raise. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Travelers are threatening to opt out of those airport scanners on the busiest travel day of the year. Are the revealing pictures and humiliating gropes the best way to keep Americans safe? We'll ask Congresswoman Shelley Berkley. Maybe she'll announce for the U.S. Senate next, Face to Face.
Why should you hire a personal injury attorney? To prevent insurance companies from taking advantage of you.
That way, you don't have to go it alone. You need someone to fight for you.
When you're injured, it can change your life. And life-changing decisions need to be taken seriously.
When you hire Bob and me, all you need to worry about is getting better.
And let us get you back on track.
Call Galloway and Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Non-surgical spinal decompression ends chronic back pain.
It's made me so happy. I'm able to do a lot of the things that I couldn't do before. And, you know, it's given me my life back pretty much.
It's the truth. He's given me back my life. Something that's been gone since 1981. And has offered my life back now.
You could be free of back pain in just 3 days. Call 336-3472 to book a 3-day trial now. 336-3472.
I think someone at my friend's school has this thing called autism. My friend's brother's son has autism. My neighbor's son has autism. My son has autism.
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
The News 4 iPhone app. You can get up-to-the-minute headlines, check the weather, watch featured stories, or even whole newscasts. Just search KRNV in the App Store. Don't have an iPhone? Check out My News 4 Mobile.
Next broadcast, Reno Mayor Bob Kuschel.